Father Lord, as I come before you, I won't leave the same way I came, Father Lord. That you, I would have met you here in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father Lord, for in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Is it good to be in church? Yes. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, the message I have here today, it's something that God just said I should speak on this. But I said, God, this is not the season for this. But he said, speak. And sometimes the way God deals with me, whatever he tells me, I will have to give that message. So whatever message you get from today, jot it down. Because I know God is speaking to someone here today. Okay? I'm going to start with the text. And this story is narrated in the four Gospels. If something is narrated in the four Gospels, we better take it serious. Am I correct? Praise the Lord. And the four Gospels, the texts are going to be there, the passages, but we're going to take them from the book of Luke. Luke chapter 19, 28 to 44. Please open your Bibles as Sister Lida helps us to read. Follow the story, follow the narration, and the Lord will share from these few verses. Sister Lida, please.
Luke chapter 19, verses 28 to 44. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and you enter it. You will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.' As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, 'If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you.'"
Hallelujah. So most of you think you already know the title of my message, isn't it? What do you think it is? What do you think the title is? But my message, I've titled it something. The King, the Donkey, and the Crowd. Hallelujah. I heard someone say triumphant entry, isn't it? But the King, the Donkey, and the Crowd. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, we're going to start the introduction. This was supposed to happen at the beginning of Holy Week. Are we together? And beginning of Holy Week was, there were so many activities that were taking place leading to that Holy Week. Can we have the first slide, please? Now, you will notice Jesus was in Bethany. Who was there? That's where Lazarus was living, isn't it? And he was staying there for a while, and he was moving from Bethany to Jerusalem. Now, basically, you might see that video, you might see that picture, but that is on top from the Mount of Olives. And that's about 3 kilometers. You're walking down towards the temple, towards the city itself. Now, most of the things that happened within that last week were within this area. Garden of Gethsemane, Mount of Olives, everything was around this area. And up to now, that place is still controversial. Hallelujah. That only tells me that our gospel is true. Now, one of the things is, I said, okay, let me try and give you understanding. We can't go to Jerusalem now because I know it's very, very hot politically. I would like to put it that way. But we can have a video just to see the area where the Lord walked through. And I just wanted to just play a 3-minute clip just for us to have a view of that area. And then we'll talk about what happened on that day. Do you have the video? If we don't, just leave it then. Send the link, but not a problem. So we'll start. The king. What do we have about the king? The king here is Jesus that we're talking about. Now, you will find out during Jesus' lifetime. No, he was out of the limelight. He had never introduced himself as a king. Praise the Lord. But at this time, he decided to present himself as a king. And how did he do that? On that Holy Week, before you get to the city, out of reverence, people will come off their horses, their mules, and they will walk into the city. No one was allowed to ride into the city. Out of respect, out of holiness. But here was Jesus wanting to ride into the city. In those days, it could have only been the Roman leaders or maybe the governors that would be able to ride into it. But Jesus decided to make a statement. And we need to take note of that. Throughout his ministry, he never took a time to say, I want to be in the forefront. But this is one time he decided to do that. Praise the Lord. Two, he decided to show his kingship, as I was telling you about. Hallelujah. And his authority over everything. He said, go to the next village. You will see a colt and a donkey. Untie it and bring it to me. How did Jesus know there will be a colt and donkey there? Praise the Lord. Let's imagine. This was holy. There were about 2 million people in Jerusalem. Two things I know that will be missing. There will be no best spaces. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Am I correct? And there will be no donkey. It's just like right now, you go to a tourist attraction or whatever it is. One of the things that you find out is there will not be any cars, there will not be any accommodation. Once there's an event somewhere, am I correct? So this event, there are almost 2 million people. How did God know there will be a free donkey and a free colt there? But he told them, go there. Untie it. If anyone asks you, tell them the master. That's what God referring to himself as Lord. Tell the master, the Lord has use of it. I get the language he's using there. In some of our countries, someone comes to enter your car and drive. What will happen? What will he do? In America, you get shot, isn't it? In some other places, people will die before you take it away. But God wanted to show his authority and his kingship. Second thing, we'll notice about the king. The king used to walk everywhere. In the Bible, they say Jesus walked, isn't it? But he decided to ride on a donkey this time around. It's a pity that we're not back in the olden days. We'd have had to walk. We tell people to do 2 kilometers, 3 kilometers. It's a big problem, isn't it? The days I have enough time, I do 10 kilometers. If I have enough time. But now, we tell people to walk. People can't even walk. But Jesus decided to change and said he wanted to ride a donkey. Is it that between Bethany and there he couldn't walk? He could have walked. But he needed a donkey to do that. We'll talk about the donkey. But the donkey here was a sign of peace. I come in peace. Hallelujah. Now, the other point, for me to go to Brother Nelson's house and say, hey, Brother Nelson, I want 1,000 reals. Brother Nelson might look at me and say, hey, is he credit worthy? Can I give it to him? But if I have a close relationship with Brother Nelson, he'll remove it one time and give it to me. Are we correct? Because I have sufficient influence, I have sufficient credit with him. Jesus as a king has sufficient influence to be able to say, I want your donkey, and the donkey was given to him. Are we together? There are some people here, maybe in your family, and people, they'll ask you for anything and you'll do it without questioning. There are some people that will ask you for the little thing, you'll question it. Hallelujah. But as the king said, I have use for this. Richness is in the amount of influence you have. That is how you know somebody that is rich. The amount of influence, not about reals, the amount of influence you have. The other thing about the king knew what was ahead, but he still came. Passover week, what was the end of the Passover week? His death. But he knew what was ahead, but he still went away. So what are my takeaways from the king? One, know your position in Christ. Jesus knew who he was. My question is, do you know who you are in Christ? Jesus gave an order, I wanted this, because he knew he was a king. Do you know that you're a child of God? You're a follower of Christ? Do you know your position in that place? Number two, walk humbly, but with confidence. I'm not trying to come back and say humbly, oh, I'm sorry, I'm a, praise the Lord, I'm a sinner, this and this, this and this. Trying to show pity or humility, isn't it? But there's a way you walk humbly, but with confidence. Jesus was on a donkey, but he was walking confidently like a king. Nowadays, I have people that have fake humility. They just want the whole world to know that they're humble. But inside, they're not. Are we together? In everything you do, you have to walk with humility. Sometimes confidence is not pride. It's because you know who you are. Jesus said, tell him the master has need of it. He knew who he was. He owns everything. As a child of God, you should have that confidence. The influence you have, number three, will determine destiny and your success of your destiny. Hallelujah. It's not about money that you fulfill your destiny. It's about the influence that you have, the impact you make in people's lives, the impact you made in the household of God. God has given each one of us a destiny. If you haven't discovered a destiny, that's a different topic for a different day. But for you to fulfill it and how you fulfill it depends on the influence that you can have. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number four, as a king, you need to fulfill your destiny. It's not optional. Whatever God has set up for you to fulfill in this life, you need to fulfill it. Never be afraid of the future. Never be afraid of it. Hallelujah. You leave it in his hands and you go with it. Jesus saw it coming, but he looked beyond it. What are you afraid of? Hallelujah. Some of us, God has asked us to leave one job to the other, but you're so comfortable here. Some people, God has asked them to leave this country. You're so comfortable here, isn't it? Thank God for Pastor Leslie's testimony. You heard it, isn't it? He left everything to God. God moved him out, brought him back, and he's open to that. Don't be afraid of the future. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That is for the king. We'll stop there. Now let's move to the donkey. Hallelujah. Who knows a donkey? Who has ridden a donkey before? Who has ridden a donkey before? Maybe in the zoo? But the judge has ridden it. Maybe, okay. Maybe the people that maybe grew up in the village or older ones would have ridden a donkey. Can I have the same first photo? That's how a donkey looks like, for those of you that don't know a donkey. Hallelujah. That is a donkey. But time has changed, isn't it? Our donkeys, if I tell someone now, okay, go for Mabella, and you go and look for a donkey to ride, you won't find a donkey, isn't it? A donkey has moved to the next one. Hallelujah. Can I have the next picture? Hallelujah, isn't it? That is our donkey. The second picture there, do you know what that is? Presidential car, isn't it, of who? That's Joe Biden's car, isn't it? Very soon it'll become Donald Trump's car. Hallelujah. Two kings, one on a donkey, one on a big car. They say that's the safest car in the world. But our king decided to ride a donkey. Now, what is the message of a donkey? What is a donkey? The definition, just for us to be on the same page. Because one thing I've discovered, a domesticated hoofed animal of the horse family with long ears and braying call. Isn't it? That is a donkey. I had to research, what's the difference between a donkey, what's the difference between a mule, a horse? I had to go and do all that research, isn't it? Praise the Lord. You mix a horse and a donkey, you get a mule, isn't it? Those are some of the things I learned when I was trying to find out what's the difference between a donkey. But also a second definition, a stupid and obstinate person. Hallelujah. Sometimes people will usually say, you're just a donkey. Why would they call a donkey like that? Because a donkey has a reputation for being stubborn. Am I correct? It has a reference to being stubborn. Some of the colloquial words they use here now, when they want to insult you, they will refer to being a donkey, isn't it? And they use the old terminology of a donkey, which I don't want to say here. You understand what I'm saying? That shows you that what? You're stubborn, you're obstinate. You cannot get a donkey to do something when it's afraid because it's trying to preserve itself. You understand that? But once you win the confidence of a donkey, it will do anything for you. Can you remember the story of Balaam? Am I correct? The donkey was supposed to move, isn't it? He saw the angel with the sword. He stopped. Self-preservation. I'm not moving. This angel can slaughter me. But Balaam could not see. He kept on moving it. And when the donkey could speak, what did he say? He said, I've served you without any complaints. If I've stopped, there must be a reason. Isn't it? So you have to win that confidence of that donkey. You have to break that donkey and win that confidence of that donkey. Another thing about donkeys, they're low maintenance. They have a very, very rough roughage, isn't it? They can eat almost anything, and they need little or no water. Praise the Lord. I'm just trying to give you the kind of animal that God decided to choose to ride on. Now, is there a stigma for riding a donkey in those days? No. We have various examples of people that drove on that rode on donkeys or mules. Abraham carrying Isaac. It was a donkey, wasn't it? Am I correct? When David was fleeing from Absalom, they said a mule. So I want to say maybe it's a mixture of a horse and donkey, isn't it? But he was fleeing, even though I believe it was security. When he's on a mule, it not look like he's a king, isn't it? Because he was fleeing. If he was on a horse, they would know somebody big. He was in disguise. And even when they coronated Solomon, he rode on David's mule around the time. So there's no stigma in riding on donkeys there. It's almost like nowadays, someone will drive a Mercedes and someone will drive a Suzuki. I don't hope nobody has a Suzuki here. You drive a Suzuki, there's no difference, isn't it? There's no stigma. It's a car, it's a car. It takes you to wherever it is. But even though it might take you at different speeds. Hallelujah. And that's why people prefer the donkey, because it can maintain your horse. You need more to maintain. Now, when you go and buy a car, what do we look for? Petrol consumption, isn't it? Bigger car, more consumption, isn't it? And that's why a lot of us like the Japanese cars. We don't like the German products because they consume more fuel. Hallelujah. So the donkey was economical in moving around. Now, because of that, the donkey was also going to be used in war. In war, what you needed to do was a horse. If I want to show my might, I will come with a horse and with chariots. Am I correct? The other day, When I was trying to say, should I give this message? Then I entered the road, and the road was blocked. And who was passing by? The Sultan. Praise the Lord. That's when the Algerian president came, isn't it? And one side of the road was covered, and they had these big red cars. You cannot miss them. The red cars were big escort cars. You had the blue cars in the center, and you knew that royalty was passing through. Even if you didn't see the roadblock, but the way that convoy was, oh boy, and the colors that you had in there, red, very eye-catching, you knew a king was passing by. That's what happens when somebody comes riding on a horse. He's showing strength. He's showing power. But the donkey was known as an animal of peace. And that's what the Bible said. The king was there to fulfill what the word of God says. In Matthew 21:5, it says, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt and the foal of a donkey. And that's from Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. It says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is come to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt and a foal of a donkey. Hallelujah. Prophesied. And as a king, he was trying to fulfill that prophecy. Don't forget, when he went to get baptized, he was also fulfilling prophecy, isn't it? He will not leave everything unturned without fulfilling his destiny within those 3 years in his ministry. Now, in that verse, you see colt and donkey. What's the difference between a colt and a donkey? The colt is the baby donkey. Are we together? No one that has never sat with a colt, no one would have sat on that baby donkey. But then he said that was the one he was going to climb. That was the one he was going to ride on. As a king, no one rides the king's donkey, isn't it? No one rides the king's horses. It's kept for the king. If Joe Biden wants to drive his car, no one enters that car. Am I correct? Nobody enters unless he's there. His kids cannot enter. His wife will not enter. If his wife enters, there'll be a different car for her. It belongs to that royalty. So he decided to take a foal. Someone that has not been used. And what is more pristine than a young colt? What is more innocent like a child that we're talking about? What is more peaceful than that? And that's why he made that reference. God was very intentional. God was very intentional. We see that. In the word, he said, of a colt and a donkey. God is never ambiguous. He's always on point to what he wants. So what's the takeaway from the donkey? Number one, you have a purpose in life. Regardless how the world perceives you. Regardless how people look at a donkey, you have a purpose in life. Regardless of how they look at you in your office or in your home, you have a purpose in life. Hallelujah. That donkey was just there. People think, oh, I'll carry visitors back and forth, but you have a purpose in life. And everyone has a value for a season and time. That's number two. The story of that donkey was from where they untied it and to where they went to the city. After that, we didn't hear about the donkey or the colt. You're coming to Bread of Life. You have a season. You're no man. You're for a season. For a purpose. Everyone, you're not here by mistake. I want you to learn that. Praise the Lord. I want you to know you're not here by mistake. In this assembly, in this country, is not a mistake. You have a purpose, and it's for a season and for time. Number three, you're never too young to be used of God. I want you to understand this. You're never too young to be used of God. Hallelujah. Is my youth in the house here? Praise the Lord. You are never too young to be used by God. And the older ones, please, give them room. They're never too young to be used by God. God could have said, donkey. I want the donkey, not the colt. Instead, he said, I want the colt. Which brings me to the next point. Parents, you need to lead your children to righteousness. Let them make mistakes in front of you. Give them responsibility. Let them walk. When they brought the donkey, they brought two. Because Jesus knew maybe the colt would not have gone without the mother. And the mother was happy for the colt to be ridden by God. So that procession, you find out who was leading it. It was the donkey, the mother that was leading it. The child was coming back with Jesus. There was a succession plan. As we get older, parents, there needs to be a succession plan. In ministry, as we progress, there needs to be a succession plan. Leading them aright. Am I clear in that, please? That's a challenge to us parents and leaders. Number five, your talent should be available for his use. The donkey is a beast of burden. The talent was there to carry Jesus to his destination. We're called to carry one another's burdens. That's what we're called, the church. We have to care for one another. The church might be big, but if you bring it down to your care cell or your small community, how are you carrying one another's burden? Everybody's living his life parallelly. We're brought together. Are we together? Your brother is in need. What have you done when you that you have excess? Your brother needs encouragement. What have you done? We have had testimonies here where people have stood in the gap for different people, financially in different forms. We need to care for one another's burdens. Also, to care for one another's burdens, sometimes you might take yourself to be as a donkey. You understand what I'm saying? To be taken like a... Have you ever been in a family that someone is always coming to give you problems to solve? Hallelujah. But you have to behave like a donkey and bear that burden, isn't it? Even when you don't want to. Praise the Lord. Do you have those kind of people in the families? Do you have those kind of... Or maybe you're the person in the family that's given that problem. Hallelujah. All of us have that. But sometimes you have to look the other way. It's easier to look the other way if it's your child, isn't it? Your child will come with one problem or the other. You'll be carrying the burden up and down, up and down. Am I correct? But if it's a friend, no, I don't have any business. You have to persevere with that person. The next one is very important. Very important. You carry the glory of God when you bear his burden. I want you to understand this. You carry the glory of God when you bear his burden. That donkey was not a donkey anymore. It was Christ radiating over him. I can imagine all the other donkeys that were sitting there looking at that donkey, looking at that colt. I can imagine all the other people that were looking at that. He bear the glory of God. Provided you're working in God's way, in God's will for your life, you're carrying that burden. You're working as unto God. You carry the glory of God. Choir, you might sing, you're singing here. You're just singing it for anybody. No. You have a job to do for Christ. And that glory is over you. You're there in intercession. You're praying. Nobody sees you. You get to your office and you see some things happening. You're being promoted, different things. You don't know where it came from. It's because you're carrying that glory of God. Because you're bearing his burden. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what? Every other thing shall be added unto you. That's the meaning of carrying the glory of God. And last, and take away from the donkey, it will end in triumph. Hallelujah. It will end in triumph. The colt was carrying Jesus. and they were praising Jesus. He was there. Hallelujah. Some of us would give anything to be seen with the Sultan. Am I correct? Even as much as you don't like Narendra Modi, if you get a picture of Narendra Modi, you will hold it, isn't it? I was with the Prime Minister. If you go back to Nigeria and you're with T-Pain or Bola Tinubu, and you're sitting with him, no matter how bad things might look, you have a picture with the president. Oh, you're going to go and frame it. Am I correct? You frame it. It's the same thing with this donkey. It ended up in triumph. Where can you ever see a donkey being celebrated? The worst of the worst being celebrated. Where can I ever see it? But you will be celebrated. That's what God says. It will end in triumph. Hallelujah. My time is almost up. Let me just rush. Let's go to the crowd. The crowd is lovely because for me, you are the crowd also. There are four members of the crowd. The disciples, the rejoicing crowd, the resisting crowd, and the lost crowd. Okay? There were four of them in their audience there as they were coming in. The disciples were the ones that had the front row. Like the pastor said, they have the front row. They can see anything about me more than those at the back. Am I correct? You go to a game, a football stadium, front row costs more because it's up and close. The disciples had the front row because they saw everything that Jesus did. But the bottom line is this. They had a small view. Maybe because they were there, they had a very small view. They didn't have the bigger picture. That is why the disciples on the first day can go and get a colt. They can lead people saying, Hosanna in the highest. And by the week's end, they had abandoned him. Isn't that what happened? From this time to that time, 1 week only, they abandoned him. And yet they had a front view of everything. That's something for you to think. You as a leader, do you have the bigger picture? Whether in ministry, whether in your home, with regards to your son, your daughter, do you have the bigger picture? Oh, my son doesn't want to read medicine. He wants to read media. Do you have the bigger picture where God has called him to? Are you getting my picture? You don't look at the small view. Praise the Lord. We have the rejoicing crowd. Sorry, I have to rush this, but we have the rejoicing crowd. The rejoicing crowd were the people there. They were expecting Jesus. They were expecting a savior. They were expecting a Messiah to come and free them from the Romans. Don't forget, they were occupied by the Romans at that particular point in time. And all of a sudden, they heard that there's a Jesus of Nazareth that's coming in. Ah, he's even riding on a mule. He's not walking into the city. He's riding. Are we together? So he's there to save them. And that's why they started praising him. Hallelujah. They started praising, the king is coming, the king is coming. Have you ever seen a king that people like? There's always praising, isn't it? They don't throw stones at him. They were rejoicing because the Messiah had come. In your life, we're always looking for a Messiah. We're looking for a Savior. Am I correct? You might say you're born again, but then you have issues in your life. You're looking for that. What did they say now? A white knight on shiny armor on a white horse, isn't it? In your finances, you're looking for someone that will save you. In your health, you're looking for a doctor that will save you. So don't look at it as the old people that were looking for a Messiah, that they're under occupation. We're also under occupation by the systems of the world. And we're always looking for someone to save us. I don't have a job. I don't have money to come in. You're looking for someone that will give you that lift and give you a job. Praise the Lord. Are we there? So we're also like them. And based on prophecy, they knew that a Messiah was coming. Isn't it? So that also feeded the narrative that this was the Messiah. The resisting and rejecting crowd. Luke 19, 39 to 40. And some of the Pharisees called out to him from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But he answered and said, "I tell you that if these keep silent, the stones will immediately cry out." These were the Pharisees in those days. They were there. They were also among the crowd. They enjoyed the system under the occupation. They had very high positions. And then they had someone that was going to come and give them problems. Rebuke them because they didn't want to lose their own position within the society, their own self-preservation. They wanted to preserve the appointments. There will be people who see Christ and yet reject him. That's the sad thing about life. The Pharisees saw Lazarus there with him. Someone that was dead and was risen. They saw him there, but yet they were rejecting him. They saw all the power. They were fair weather Christians. Whatever it will suit them, that's what they were going to do. They rejected Jesus. And there are people that are sitting here. They're rejecting the message. Even as I'm speaking, there are some people that say, "Oh, let him go and sit down. He has said his own. God is speaking to him. Oh, forget about it." Am I correct? But you're hearing the word of God. You're not going to implement it because you're rejecting. You're being like the Pharisees. Then we have the lost crowd. There are some people that don't know what they hear. There are some people that don't know what they were in the crowd, isn't it? You have a scenario sometimes where everybody's going, everybody rushes there. Am I correct? Those are the ones that are lost. They say, "Can he be the Messiah? Oh, he's from Nazareth. No, he was born in Bethlehem." There are some people that are lost in this crowd. There are some people that are here that are lost. You see, everybody follows Jesus for a certain reason. People come to see the King for whatever reason. And some don't even have a reason. You come to church. What is your purpose of coming to church today? Are you coming to meet the King? Are you coming to fulfill all righteousness? Let them now say, "I didn't come to church." Are you a member of that lost crowd? You do not know your purpose as you sit here. I'm in Oman. I don't know what God here. Most of us will say, "Oh, no, I know the reason why I'm Oman. It's the real." It's stronger than most currencies, isn't it? But believe me, the money you make in Oman, someone will make in a different country. Times two, times three. Am I correct? I think India has one of the highest number of billionaires after China, isn't it? Are they in the Gulf? Are they all in the Gulf? No. God can bless you wherever he wants to bless you. But the fact that he brought you to Oman, there's a reason for that. But there's one detail that happened at the end, and that's why I asked Sister Leader, I asked her to read to the end. That after that, he went and cried over Jerusalem because he knew that they were not going to receive him, they were going to kill him. And he said that these stones will be broken down. Isn't that it? That happened in 70 AD, isn't it? Enemy is going to come and close in. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So take away from the crowd. Take away from the crowd. There's no opposition to the master when he has need of your resources. There is no opposition. Are you with me? If God wants something from you, he will get it from you. Believe me, you cannot say no to God. It might be a longer journey. He might twist you until you arrive at where he wants you to be. Number two, be open to be used by God. Your resources should be available to God to be used. The owner, that's the thing that baffles me. Maybe he was a Christian, but I want my donkey. Jesus wants his donkeys, two of them, at peak period, peak season. And I said, the master has use of it. Take it. Those of you that are doing business, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm just looking at Sam. Maybe he's in accounting. We have auditing season, isn't it? Can you imagine going to your boss and say you want to take leave during your audit season? And you want to go and pray on a retreat? Hallelujah. I don't think your boss will agree, isn't it? Hallelujah. That's the peak season. But the person had a donkey. He had two donkeys that they were needed. But he said, Lord, take them. Use them. When I go to heaven, I'm going to ask, what happened to that owner? But something within tells me, from that moment in his life changed. And I wouldn't know the answer. But when I go to heaven, I'll find out that his life changed, even though we did not hear anything about him. Number three, take away from the crowd. Following Christ takes commitment, requires commitment. You must go the long haul. The disciples started beautifully, but they didn't end up the week properly. Do you have a problem that's pushing you away from Christ now? Some people will just get sick for whatever. I don't want any business with God. Some people will say, okay, I have problems in my marriage. This Christianity is not for me. Some people say, oh, my children give me a headache. I've prayed, whatever it is. This is not for me. Are we together? You have challenges in your life, and the first thing you do is get rid of Christ. But I'm here to tell you, being a Christian requires commitment. Hallelujah. Being in ministry requires commitment. Do you want to quit at times? Yes. Even in leadership, I'll tell you, in leadership, there are some days I say, I don't want to be a leader anymore. Praise the Lord. But what keeps me going is commitment. I have news for you, those that are married. Is it love that sustains your marriage? Huh? It's not love. Because tell me, today you love, tomorrow you not love. What matters more is that commitment that you have said, Lord, I've taken this, we have come together as one. That is what holds you. If you're not committed to your work, what happens? Let's ask you, you're not committed to your work, what happens? You get fired. But even if you're committed, you're not so good at it, they'll manage you, isn't it? Following Christ takes commitment. The ministry you belong to, if you have not belonged to any ministry, whatever it is, requires commitment. The disciples did not understand that. Number three, Jesus accepts our worship. When Jesus was coming in, they were saying, Hosanna in the highest, wasn't it? Did Jesus rebuke them? That means he leaves off our praises. God bless you, Brother Kibe. The songs we're here were just of worship. But then I saw some people just there, they were just lost. They were not tapping into it. We're just here for the show. No. God loves our praises. If he didn't, he would have rebuked them. And that's why he told the Pharisees, if they don't sing, the stones will praise me. Wherever you find yourself, make sure you worship and praise God. Hallelujah. Number five, it says, failed expectations can lead to unbelief. Don't allow the devil. Church, please. You're expectant of God on so many fronts. It's not happening. Let it not lead you to unbelief. Hallelujah. Let it not lead you to unbelief. Hallelujah. I'll conclude. Time is spent.
We're talking about the king, the donkey, and the crowd. How will you respond to this message? Just let that sink in. How would you respond to this message? And I have one. King, believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the Savior. Whatever you're going through, is Jesus that will save. If you have not given your life to him, please give your life to him. He's the only one that can truly save. And if you have given your life to him, whatever you find, situation you find yourself, because we're all on a journey, Jesus will save you. Jesus will bring you out. That's knowing that he's the king. Two, donkey. Serve him as king. We're all here to serve God. Whatever we're to do in this land, whatever we have to do here, ultimately, we need to serve the King of Kings. As that cult carried the King of Kings, in all that we do, we need to serve him. In our lives, personal lives, we serve him. In the church, we serve him. In our homes, we serve him. That's all that we're made for, church, to serve him. Lastly, the crowd. Proclaim his praise. Hallelujah. Proclaim his praise. Worship him. Praise him. Go into the world. Teach them the world. Make disciples of them. That was the last great commission. That's what God has left for us. Hallelujah. As you believe that Jesus is your Savior, my utmost prayer is that you serve him truly as king and you proclaim his praise. God bless you.
Church, the king, the donkey, and the crowd. As king, are you exercising your authority? Because we are joint heir of Jesus Christ. We should see ourselves as king. Are you exercising that position? Are you humbling yourself? Do you have that confidence? How has your influence determined the success of people around you? The donkey. Everyone has purpose for life. That purpose, you cannot change it. Everything has value and season. The talent that God has given unto you, how have you been using it? And I pray that your talent will end in testimony in Jesus' name. And the crowd, what part of the crowd do you belong to? The disciple that see the clear picture of what he is doing. The rejoicing crowd or the lost or resisting crowd? Brethren, you can't resist God once he wants to use you. So be ready. Be prepared. Commit yourself. Because following Christ requires commitment. And the question is what was asked last. How will you respond to today's message? How have your influence been on the society? You are neither too young nor too old. God can use you. Brethren, Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light shine. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your fathers in heaven." Every one of you carried a unique light with you. Remember today's message? The king, the donkey, and the crowd. Let us be on our feet. I want you to pray. Quickly pray and say, God, Holy Spirit, help me to be a godly influence on others. To be a godly influence in the society. Begin to tell God that, Lord, I've heard your message today. We talk about donkey. Donkey has carried the King of Kings. Talk to God. Let me be a godly influence on others. So that people will talk about you. They will talk good about you. Tell God to make use. To make use of you. That talent that God has given unto you, the hidden talent in you, that God should bring it out. So that you can influence your society. You can tell them about the uniqueness of God in your life. Talk to God. Talk to God. Tell God that you should not be the reason why somebody will not reign with him in his kingdom. That you want your character, your behavior to influence your society. Father, we want to appreciate you and thank you, Lord, for today's message. Thank you that even it's not the season of this type of message about donkey, but we want to appreciate you that you have opened our eyes that message is not for one season alone, that is for every season. We thank you for your servant that you have used for us this day. We pray that more anointing in his life in the mighty name of Jesus. The depth of knowledge you have given unto him shall never dry up in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray for him, pray for the work of his hand, pray for his family, that the presence of God shall never depart from them in Jesus' name. And as you have heard this message today, the purpose of today's message shall be fulfilled in your life in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We bless your holy name. The year is coming to an end. All our programs, they are all in your hands. As much as we have appreciated you for all the past program this year, the remaining one, Father, we pray that we will see your hands in it in the mighty name of Jesus. And the purpose of these programs are to bring people to you. Father, we pray that these programs will win more souls to your kingdom in Jesus' name. Tomorrow's Excellence May program, Father, take control in the mighty name of Jesus. And for the women ministry Thanksgiving in the evening, Father, let your name be glorified in Jesus' name. Blessed be your holy name, Lord. And as we depart here, let your presence go with us in the mighty name of Jesus. And your name shall be glorified when we meet within the week and on Friday in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Before we share the grace together, newcomers, just outside these doors, a couple of our leaders and brethren will be waiting there to receive you and to tell you more about this church and to tell you more about Christ. At that time, you can ask whatever question you want to know about Bread of Life. Church, let's jointly, happily share the grace together in fellowship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. And we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. Do have a wonderful week.